We welcome back a gentleman who had been on the show with us previously, November 4th, 2009, to be exact. That was when his book at the time was in paperback release in the United States and was promoting it at the time, just prior to his return to the WWE. But our senior producer, Steve Servillo, had mentioned to Brett's people that, again, with him being such a huge hockey fan, this is a momentous day in Canada because tomorrow the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs get underway, and we love talking hockey on this show as well as any number of things. So truly a guest with whom we can and will discuss a couple of different things here. He's got his own show coming up on the network at the top of the hour here. We'll be talking about that as well. I guess not too presumptuous to say our new broadcast colleague on the Sports Talk Network. But first and foremost, a pleasure to have back on the show one of the greatest legends of professional wrestling, Brett the Hitman Hart. Brett, welcome back to the FDH Lounge, sir. How are you tonight?
I'm doing really good. I'm excellent.
It's great to have you back on with us here. Let me ask you a few things here. Obviously, you're huge into hockey, as are we on this show. I know the country of Canada has got to be psyched. The number one seed in the tournament, the President's Trophy winners, Vancouver Canucks, this year coming in as the clear favorites. Canada's only got two teams representing this year. It seems to me anecdotally more years it's more like three or four. I'm just guessing that off the top of my head. But only two teams in it this year, but one looking like a real solid favorite to break that historic drought. Canada's never gone this long without the Cup. What's the sense up there, Brett, about whether the Canucks can break through and get it done?
I feel myself, my personal opinion is I think that the Canucks, I think they're going to be tough to beat all the way to the end. I think they got the best chance of winning the whole thing. You know, they've been so strong and so consistent all year. I mean, it's really going to be tough for any team to knock them off in any series.
You know, with the incredible offensive punch that's led by the Sedin twins, I mean, that's a 1-2 punch that almost nobody else can replicate. You start from there. It's been a grittier team this year, and a goalie that I think has been a little bit too maligned over the years here in Roberto Luongo because of what the expectations have been for him. A year ago, he wins the gold medal for Canada, ironically, on his home ice. Is it a sense? Do you have the sense in looking at this guy, Brett, that it seems to me if he can get it done, if he can win a cup, as long as he doesn't fall off the edge of a cliff between now and the edge of his career, it seems like he's destined to be remembered on that same tier as Waugh and Hasek and Brodeur, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think he really, he's a guy that you can put a lot of faith in anyway. You know, he's a real pillar back there that you just know you can rely on, especially playoff time.
Is that one of the things, do you think, that where he's going to give them a substantial advantage in some of the series potentially? I mean, you've got Niemi if it ends up being a matchup with San Jose at any point, a guy who actually won the Cup last year. Is Luongo the kind of guy, though, that pretty much is going to give them an edge in almost whatever series they end up in?
Well, I think just the way they played all season, I think they kind of seem to have everything firing on all levels. And I think as far as his covering the net and his end of the holding things for the team, he's always been pretty reliable for the most part. And I think that it stands to reason that he's getting, you know, if anything, he's due for even a better run than he's ever had. He's never quite, had that taste yet, you know.
I would agree with that, and I have to say, as much as I would like it to be my wings breaking through here, and I am one of those hated Red Wings fans, Brett, but as much as I'd like to believe that, boy, Vancouver really does look like the team to beat. I got to tell you, too, just in talking to a couple of the guys here, we were talking about this off-air, our sense was Boston coming through in the East, and I'm seeing that in some other places as well. And I guess on NHL.com they ran some kind of simulator. They had Boston winning the whole thing. I don't know why Boston kind of jumps out at us more than some of the other teams, although, again, Tim Thomas has had such a great comeback year, and when you got Chara on the blue line and some of the depth with scoring. Does Boston kind of jump out at you the same way, or how are you seeing the East in a year where there's really some kind of flux out there?
Well, you know, they jump out pretty strong to me, Boston. They always seem to be pretty strong. But, you know, Montreal is one of those teams. Like, there's always things that happen in the playoffs. There's upsets, and there's things that always surprise. There's always a surprise in there somewhere. And Montreal has always been a team that pulls something out of the fire. They how far they went last year. I think, you know, if anyone could tip over Boston, it could just very well be Montreal sort of playing that underdog. They just, if anyone could pull it off, it'd be Montreal. But if they can get past Montreal, that's a different story. I think Boston could be the team to beat in the East.
You know, and I'll tell you what, Brett, that's one of those things that for people that aren't into hockey, they don't really get. Just, I mean, Boston, Montreal, that's one of the most heated rivalries in all of sports. Just it's so incredible, the passion and the hatred that goes back decades and decades between these teams here. What's your sense of the psychology of it? Because you're absolutely right about Montreal making the other team slip on the banana peel here. You had that last year with Washington and with Pittsburgh. So Boston's going to be coming in kind of ready for it, but then Boston's been haunted by some bad things themselves here, blowing the 3-0 to Philadelphia last year, that horrific final that they had to Carolina, I think it was 2 years ago. So how do you think the psychology works on something like that, where one team's the established upset maker and the other team has been victim to them?
Well, you know, it takes a whole team to stand up and change that kind of stuff and just turn it around. And you know, it's sort of, that's how they test their mettle. You know, they I think every team endeavors to achieve higher kind of thing, and whether they're due for it this year is to be determined. You know,
it's going to be fascinating to watch it play out. My sense in the end, Brett, is I'm saying Vancouver over Boston in six in the finals. Do you have a prediction set?
I would say that's about the same as mine right there, but I just have a feeling that Boston and Montreal will go seven. The Sharks, I think, will win the other series. Who are they playing, the Sharks?
Sharks got L.A. in the first round. There's a lot of people that don't see that as being that big of an impediment for them with the kind of year the Kings have had.
Yeah, I just sense that the Sharks are pretty hungry, and they've, for once, they've kind of been more disciplined through the whole season rather than sort of gliding into the playoffs so strong that they maybe overestimated themselves when they came playoff time. They've continually kind of struck out come playoff time or seem to run out of gas in the second and third rounds. But I think they got to be learning their lesson from all that. And it's basically the same team coming back, and you have to think that they got to be stronger, tougher, smarter than they have been before.
The one other thing that jumps out at me to ask you, Brett, my all-time favorite athlete in any sport is Steve Yzerman. He's done a heck of a job in Tampa Bay. I love watching Steve Stamkos and the guys on that team get it done there. How big of a run do you think Tampa might have in their first year back in the playoffs, making a run with this younger core?
I see him getting knocked out first round. I don't know. I just feel that they just don't have they won't have enough to get past the first round.
Well, you know, they got Rolison's what, 41 years old, so that's going to be tough on them. Yeah, I'm hopeful. I love Yzerman, and I hate anything Pittsburgh. But so I hope you're wrong on that, Brett. But certainly, you know, it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. I want to get a sense from you, Brett. We got coming up here at the top of the hour on the Sports Talk Network, your new show that you and your partner Josh have been working on here. You guys have actually had a couple episodes of it under your belt, now doing it where it's going to be broadcast on here as well. Talk about some of the stuff that you guys are going to have coming up on the show. It seems like a really cool, you know, insight into your life and some of the things you've got going on and that you like to focus on.
Well, it's just 2 hours. It's sort of, we just talk to generally, you know, wrestling fans and fans that are interested in sort of just varied topics. It's kind of just an open forum about could be anything, but we tend to get a real wide variety of an audience, which is what makes it pretty special.
Hi, Brett. Jake Digman here. It's funny you mentioned wrestling fans, and we were actually just discussing the different archetypes of pro wrestling into MMA characters or MMA fighters, and a thought popped into my head. With your father Stu's background as being such a legendary shooter, had MMA been in its the level that it is today, might we be talking about former UFC middleweight champion Bret Hart instead of five-time WWE champion? Could that have been a possibility at the time?
I don't know. I don't think so. I think just the whole sort of gladiator kind of mentality that goes with MMA, as opposed to the sort of pretend sort of
pro wrestling world. I'm always much happier and grateful that I was in a profession where we only pretended to hurt each other. It's really, pounded in one of my buddy's brains and punched his face in and all that. I have a lot of respect for MMA, especially the submission wrestlers, and I love, GSP, and I have a lot of my favorites in it, and I admire even Brock Lesnar. I have a lot of respect for him, but I'm just glad that that I never got weeded into that to make a living. Just doesn't appeal to me just on a ethical level.
I respect that. But one of the things you mentioned and brought up just now was the you'd rather do the pretend hurt, yet it seems more professional wrestlers actually end up getting hurt in the long run. I only mention this just because of the situation with yourself, and also just announced last night that Edge, a fellow mm-hmm. Canadian, announcing his retirement due to long-term injuries. Obviously, we haven't seen what the long-term ramifications are with mixed martial arts, but I've worked in the MMA business for about 5 years, and one thing they say is they don't want to be professional wrestlers because they think that's more grueling on the body than MMA is.
Well, both of them, I'm sure, are very taxing on, and wrestling has certainly got its hard physical side too. And but I mean, the MMA, it's a real dog eat dog sort of philosophy to survive that. And I don't know. I never was that hungry that I wanted to hurt anyone that bad.
Well, Brett, I know you've got your show coming up at the top of the hour. We're respectful of that. I know we need to let you go. I want to get your thoughts here. I just want to embellish on what my man Jake was talking about here a second ago. Give you a chance to reflect on it. I believe you did on Twitter today, but to expand on that a little bit. The great Adam Copeland, Edge, surprisingly announcing his retirement last night because of his neck issues. Unfortunately, you guys were kind of like ships passing in the night as far as when he came up and when you left, so you didn't really get to do anything with him there. But I know as a fellow Canadian and fellow great wrestler, I know you had a ton of admiration for him.
Yeah, he was one of those guys that sort of helped in the beginning, and then I kind of ended up leaving him stranded in WWE when I left for WCW. But, he was always a hard worker and a good wrestler, and he got there on his own with his own hard work and his own philosophy on wrestling. And he's been a real credit to the industry for all these years. He's entertained a lot of guys, and he was always, the beauty of a guy like Edge is to have wrestled him and to have appreciated just what a great technician he was, and a guy that you could always wrestle that was safe and reliable and you could trust in there that he was always going to take care of you and protect you. And they lost a real, one of their top guys. They lost one of the greats today that had to retire. But I think I'm glad that he recognized, as I did, when the time comes, you gotta put your body and your health first. And I admire how he handled it. And he seemed like a real class act last night when I watched him.
Oh, very well said in my estimation, Brett. I was impressed as well with how he handled it under emotional circumstances. And, yeah, he was a great one. He entertained us for a long time. And, again, appreciate you coming on with us. It was a heck of a coincidence. Our senior producer had you booked for tonight, and then it turns out your new show is starting tonight. But you didn't miss any bookings in wrestling. You don't miss any bookings on the talk show circuit. We really appreciate it, Brett. Hope to talk with you again sometime.
All right. Take care,
Brett. All right, the legendary Brett the Hitman Hart, everyone.